Well, good morning, everyone. Everybody's looking young and chipper this morning. Sure glad to have all of you here. Otherwise, it'd be kind of lonesome up here. But praise the Lord. He is good. You know, I think it's important, well, to me anyway, to really thank Joyce for being Spirit-filled. Because she really picks a lot of songs that really goes along with what I want to share and what I have a purpose to share. But sometimes the Lord changes it as we go through, so I'm open to that. I know that the Lord knows best, but I'm just kind of excited about the songs that we sang this morning and what they really mean. You know, to really be thankful. Now, I know we got Thanksgiving coming up and all of that, but are you all excited that the Lord ministered to you and drew you and you received him into your life, and all of your sins were forgiven, and that you know you're on your way to heaven? It's like this is not the end. It's really the beginning now, and it doesn't matter what we go through or the things that come up, where the world is going, and all of that. One day we're gone. Whether the Lord takes us home early or whether we wait to be called up in the air, you know, and meet the Lord, and we'll be taken out of all this. And the world, who doesn't know anything about God or care to have anything to do with him, are all going to be left behind. And so we've really, if you look at it, we've got so much to be thankful for. So much. I love the one song, you know, what is it? Early in the morning, all I want is Jesus. Or, and it's like, yes, when we wake up in the morning, you know, instead of thinking about all the work that maybe we got to do or the things that transpired before and now you got to fix and on it goes. But you can get up in the morning and say, I want my Jesus. I want my Jesus. When you wake up in the morning, what you want the most is what you love the most. And so we got to learn to fall in love with Jesus, maybe again. Well, sometimes we lose that. You know, sometimes I don't appreciate my wife that much, and then all of a sudden the Lord kind of deals my heart, and I'm like, wow, she takes such good care of me, and she cares about me. God, thank you. Thank you. And so I feel sorry a lot of times for underappreciating her. But you know, we do a lot of that to the Lord as well. And so we really need to be cautious of that. So let's get into the Word and just see what really the Lord is wanting to say. In fact, I kind of entitled this, The Subtlety of Sin and Its Consequences. If you would turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. Let's talk about poor Eve a little bit. Starting with verse 1 then, it says, Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And so he said to the woman, Has God indeed said, You shall not eat of the tree of the every tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eye, and the tree desired to make one wise, she then took of its fruit and she ate. And she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked. And so they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And then, listen to this, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. And they hid themselves among the trees in the garden. Then the Lord called Adam and said to him, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? Then the man said, the woman whom you gave me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. And the Lord said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. Will you pray with me? Father, I ask that you would just anoint your word today. Father, that you would just make things aware to us and instill in us the importance of first knowing you and, Lord, also to being thankful. Let us not take your word, your love, or your salvation for granted in any way. May we hold it up and keep it precious in every way, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as I've read in this, I see where first the enemy started talking to Eve about what God said. And then he said it in such a way that it made Eve think about it and question it. And I think a lot of times we sometimes do that as well. You know, it's like, well, is it really that important? Is it really? And then a lot of times in the word, we end up compromising a little. Do you ever do that? We compromise just a little. And then we kind of make habit of it. And it's like, it gets to be, oh, well, I compromised on that and it was no big deal. I'm still being blessed and, you know, it's okay. Then pretty soon there's something else. And pretty soon, have you ever noticed how at times when we tolerate a lot of things, how that our conscience doesn't convict us so much anymore about that? Have you ever noticed that? It gets to where it used to really bother us if we even thought about that. But now it's kind of calloused a little bit. It's like it doesn't bother me. It's like, I think God will forgive me. After all, we're not under the law. We're under God's grace. So it's probably really, God understands, I'm just a human. You know what I mean? I'm just human. And so I'm going to be tempted and I'm going to fail, but it's all right. All I need to do is just repent. So there's a lot of things that the enemy does with us, just like he did with Eve. So she looked at it, was pleasant to the eye, looked good for food. I mean, what's an apple? Well, some people weigh, maybe it was an orange. I don't know. I think it was an apple. Doesn't matter, does it? It's the idea of obedience. And so what happens is it really messes. It really messes with what we believe and how we stand about with God. You know, a lot of people today don't even really know if they're saved. They hope they are, but they really don't know because they really don't have that intimate relationship with the Lord. Doesn't mean they're not saved, because they may have received Christ, but see, they've compromised so much that, well, if I go to church once in a while, that's fine. Not like it's a commandment. Well, the Lord says not to forsake ourselves of our assembly together. And I think a lot of that is very important because that's where we get built up. And aren't we supposed to build one another up and love one another? And so therefore encourage each other. So now, this subtle manipulation demonstrates how deceptive reasoning can lead to disobedience and a breakdown in relationship with God. The subtlety of sin refers to how sin can creep in our lives in unnoticed and seemingly harmless ways. That ultimately affects our relationship with God. And see, that's what happens with sin. Is once it creeps in because of our maybe being a little frivolous about maybe the wrong things, but with a little compromise and starting to think that it's really not that important. You know, if it really wasn't that important, do you think God would have written it down? Do you think? Oh God, you just want to fill the book. That's what you want to do. So you wrote all these other things that's really not that important. But see, now it's maybe what the enemy would tell you. But I don't think that would be something God would tell you. So let's look at something here. Let's look at the nature of subtle sin. A gradual intrusion. With this subtle sin. Sin often begins with seemingly small compromises or rationalizations that seemed minor and harmless. But over time, these small actions can lead to more significant chaoses that move a person further away from God. I know in James 1, 14 and 15, James, he explains that desire gives birth to sin, and sin, once fully grown, brings forth death. This illustrates how initial temptations can lead to destructive patterns. Romans 8:5 says this, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, they set them to the Spirit. So let me ask you this question. When you're all relaxed and you just want to kind of sit back and take it easy, our mind never stops going. Do you ever notice that? That's what keeps me so much from falling asleep right away, is I'm thinking about things. And I've got to turn this thinking off. But where does your mind go? When you're out visiting with people or whatever, what is your conversations about? Has God ever come up? Has the thought of God in your life ever come up when you're resting and settling your mind? The word says that, you know, that we need to set our minds on the Spirit and not really on the flesh. But usually our mind goes to the fleshly things, doesn't it? You know, the women say, all right, what am I going to cook tonight? And what am I going to wear tomorrow? And the men are thinking what they got to fix and what's going on and how am I going to do that? But you know, we can train our mind to think on God and godly things. Really, that's the most important there is. You know, the Bible even goes as far as to say, walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5 talks about walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. So walking in the Spirit is pretty different. How do you really do that? Have you ever thought about that? We read it, oh yeah, praise God, walk in the Spirit. All right, well, how? How do we do that? See, there's so many things we read in the Word, we agree with it, but we don't know how to do it. Or we don't do it. See, what's the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, right? Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And the Word says to think on these things. You think on the good things. See, you're training your mind. When you're maybe thinking about something, you get a little aggravated because somebody did you wrong in it. And so you can kind of think and get a little angry about it. But what if you would think of, God, I'm going to give that to you. Does that really matter to me? And I know, Lord, you can take care of it. So I just surrender it to you. And Father, I choose to love them and then pray for them. See, that's now when you're thinking about loving. And then instead of bitterness coming over you and a heaviness of anger that might come over you, instead there's joy. Because you're learning to love, that way you can have some long suffering for people who take advantage of you and who try to hurt you. See, that's walking in the Spirit. See, I'm not going to walk in my flesh, in my anger, in my resentment, in all of my hurt and frustrations. No, I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to have the joy of the Spirit in my life. I'm going to have peace rather than all the turmoil. And when you walk at least in that much, you're going to be more patient with people, more long-suffering, more understanding. Sometimes when I'm walking in the flesh you know, I'm saying something about somebody's driving or whatever. My wife comes up with all these excuses. Well, you know, maybe they got a phone call and they're just trying to see what that is, or they've, and I said, will you quit with the excuses? But see, that's what happens when you walk in the flesh. Well, when you walk in the spirit, you can excuse. Usually to women, it's whole much easier for them. But for the men, it's hard. See, the women can open up about their feelings. But the men, oh, no, never. I don't have a problem. See, we're under control. It's them women. Go cry. No, don't cry. But see, that's being sensitive in your heart and in your spirit. And that's where a lot of times the men really lack. But we need to get to the point where we're so thankful. And we make our hearts so soft. Folks, I want to tell you, I've seen movies and there's, you know how they have those touchy parts? You know, it's like, oh man, like tearjerkers. I cry in that. You know, I do. I'll sneak a handkerchief out or whatever and wipe the tears. But see, I want to be sensitive. I don't want to be hard. I want to be sensitive. Last night when I went to bed, I just started thinking about the Lord. I said, God, you're so good. I said, Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for calling me. Lord, thank you. You gave me the privilege to preach your word. God, your word is so amazing and so needed. And Lord, you gave me that privilege. I thank you. And what I usually do in the morning, I was doing at night. And here I am crying on my pillow. Because my heart is just so soft and open to the Lord. You know, when you have a tough piece of meat, what do? You beat it up, right? Trying to make it tender. So you can chew it. And see, that's what we need to learn to do with our heart and our emotions and our feelings. It's like, God, let me feel. You know, I love it when God touches me and does things in my life, in my heart. You know, it says in the word that God's spirit will witness with your spirit. In fact, if you are a child of God, do you ever notice how you're working and doing things and something nice will turn out, and it's like, oh, Lord, thank you, Father, God. Just the little things that nobody else would even care about. And God will go to the littlest things where everyone else would condemn you or throw it out or totally ignore it, but God makes it a point to go to the little things that matters to you. Just the little things. It just matters a little bit. And God notices that. Have you experienced that? And when your heart is soft, it brings tears. God, you even care about that. I don't think we understand most of the time of the God, the kind of God and the love that our God has for us and what he wants to give to each of us. But folks, we let the subtlety of sin, the compromise of conviction, to change our stand in our walk with him. We need to stand on conviction of God's word. God, you said. We need to learn that we have some power and some strength. Now, the problem is with the power and strength and why we don't seem to have it is because of subtle sin, compromise, not realizing the real importance and power in the word of God. How about when the man brought his son to the disciples? Jesus wasn't there, but he brought him, and he says, man, he's an epileptic. Says the enemy takes over his life. He's throwing him in the fire and in the water, trying to destroy him. Have you ever helped somebody with when they're in an epileptic fit? I had some friends of mine, and his brother had that problem. So you had to watch how you talked around him. You had to be careful not to cause him to get any anxiety at all. If he felt threatened or any anxiety or any blame or anything, he would go into a fit. He'd fall down. He'd foam at the mouth. He would try to swallow his tongue. He would bite his tongue. You'd have to hurry up and get something and put it in his mouth so he could bite down on it. And that fit of rage or whatever it is would go on for 4 or 5 minutes. His eyes would roll back in his head. That's demonic, folks. And that's what that man was going through with his son. And the disciples had already been out, and they were able to cast out demons and heal the sick. They preached the word. They did it all. Just like a lot of us used to do. But then all of a sudden they couldn't. Didn't work. They tried to cast out the demon, but it made it worse. Then Jesus came and he said, bring them here to me. And of course, Jesus cast the thing out. Then the disciples came and asked him, Lord, we've done it before. Why didn't it work now? Do you ever notice a lot of times we want to pray and do different things and it seems like it's not working? It's kind of like, what's going on? Well, some of it could be that maybe we've lost the idea of the importance of what God really says. See, we know what he says, but sometimes we don't sense the power or feel the importance of it. And Jesus said to them, I think it's recorded in Luke 17:20 is a verse where he says, it's because of your unbelief. And in another place in the gospel, he says, however, this one comes out with much prayer and fasting. In other words, he's saying we're compromising things here. We're not maintaining our true relationship with the Lord. And so it's weakening us. It's not that it's gone. It's just that it's weakened it. Our thoughts and the things that we're going, it's weakened it. Maybe we're dealing with something. And we're concentrating a lot on that. You know, on the farm, my dad would put down a lot of electric fence. So we'd have the wires strung out. But through the summer, what would happen in spring, that weeds would grow up and it would start touching it. Well, pretty soon, the fence was ineffective because it was grounded out. And so I'd have to go down with a weed whip. I didn't have the gas one like I do now. This other one was power, man, manpower. And I'd have to go like miles and try to cut them weeds off of that fence so that it would shock the cattle and keep them in. And see, that's how we are sometimes. Sometimes we let these weeds and different things grow up in our lives, and we kind of become almost grounded. And our thanksgiving and our compassion and our love and our need for God, just it kind of dissipates. Gets grounded out where it doesn't have the effect on us like it used to have. And so that's why the Lord said to him, and says, hey, you couldn't do it. You need to go fast. You need to go spend some time with the Lord. You need to get rid of the weeds so that you can be effective. And see, folks, this is what we need to do. We need to get rid of the weeds, the doubt, the hurts, the frustrations. As we walk in the Spirit, it takes all of that away. Do you get up early in the morning? Do you cherish that time with the Lord? I was so thankful this morning the Lord woke me up at 2:00. I was thankful for the last week he wasn't waking me up until after 4. And here I had this to preach to you guys, and I wasn't going to set my alarm. I figured, God, you'll get me up when you want. I thought I had it together. Of course, he added some things, and I'm not using hardly any of it yet. But he woke me up at 2, and I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Because you want to spend time with me. And you want me to spend some time with you. Thank you, Lord. When I do that, I get up refreshed. And then I look at my watch and it's like, wow, it's after 6 already. I got to type this thing up. Folks, do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's like a lot of people would think, 2:00, are you an idiot? But I'll be honest, I felt so blessed. God, thank you that you care enough for me, that you would wake me and draw me to yourself. It's like God couldn't wait for us to get together. See, that doesn't make me holy or better than anybody else. All it means is that the Lord is helping me to have such a tender heart towards him. See, that's God doing that. And that's what we all need. Then the things that God asks us to do, it's not a burden. It's a pleasure. God, thank you. You know, when God gives you a real desire in your heart, do you know he sets you up and gives you a way to do it? I talked to my wife, we haven't had any desserts for a while. Well, now she's making desserts. And I was like, wow, that's pretty good. Of course, that's not good for the stomach. But it sure tastes good. But see, that's what God does. Walk with him. He puts stuff on your hearts, and then he gives you the desire to be able to do it and the provision. Folks, you don't know how big a God we serve and how much he loves us. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that he brought me here to be with you guys, because I've learned a lot. We got here a little late this morning. I'm like, I'm rushing trying to see everybody. See what the Lord called me to do? It's such a pleasure. Up at the prison, the guys are kind of taking over, and of course, they don't get a chance to preach like I do all the time here. And so I just sat back, and there were three of us that went. One did the prayer, the other one kind of gave a little message, and it went on with others that did things to some of the inmates. So at the end, we said, all right, it's time to go. Everybody, you know, let's circle up. Because they make a big circle and take up pretty well the whole room. I don't know if there's 50 or 60 of them. We grab hands and said, all right, Jim, you didn't do anything tonight, so you close us in prayer. And then when we went to the east side, right away they come up to me and says, Jim, you got something to preach tonight? I said, no. Steve will do it. Because I like giving those guys a chance. But folks, if you've lost the pleasure of serving, just turn to the Lord and start your change. God, give me a softer heart. Give me a heart of appreciation. He didn't have to call you. And there's a lot of people can't see the value in anything that we do. Not interested. You can even tell them about it and all that God's done for you, and it doesn't right over their head. Like, yeah, that's good. You're a holy roller. Just not interested because God's not calling them. So we need to see our value. Quit compromising and not allowing the subtleties of sin and compromise take over our lives. Y'all understand what the Lord's trying to say to us today? I hope so. I could preach this whole thing pretty well over again. You wouldn't even know it. Let me pray over this and pronounce a blessing for us. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you change us and that you would give us hearts that appreciate all that you do. Father, we just thank you for who you are, for your love and compassion, for your forgiveness, for your salvation. Touch our lives and our hearts. Lord, let us not be the same, but inspire us. As your Holy Spirit moves in our lives, Lord, that we will hold to your word and we will fulfill your desires and you will fulfill ours as well. Thank you, Father. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And the blessing is now, may the Lord bless you, protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you peace. Amen.